The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at LifeStreams Christian Church. For more information, please visit our website at lifestreamscc.com.
Today, church, I have the privilege of walking through the start of chapter 3 in the book of Ephesians. And I hope you're enjoying the series, Who Do You Think We Are? So far, and every time I've preached, I've given a little bit of a summary. So far, the author of this book, who is the Apostle Paul, has done an unbelievable job. He's done an incredible job of helping us answer this question to our series that's entitled, So Who Do You Think We Are? Or Who Do You Think We Are? He's preached that God has made us, amen, and has chosen us to live a life of praise, that through Christ we are redeemed, we are forgiven, that we are sealed by the Spirit, and the Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing our amazing inheritance. He then prays that we'd have a deep revelation of who God is so that we will know Him more. And not only that, that we would have a deep revelation of who we are so that we can be all that we have been created to be. He then preached that we are alive. Are you alive this morning? Or have we got a bit of an Olympic hangover this morning? Did anyone see the basketball? Hey, I think we beat the French. We'll just keep that on the quiet this morning. It's good. But we're alive in Christ because of God's great love. And then last week, He called us from distance to nearness. And that nearness to God is made possible through what? The blood of Jesus Christ. And if you've missed one of these messages, if you haven't been here for every single one of them, can I encourage you to catch up? And all you've got to do is go to our website, click on that little icon on the bottom that says messages online, and you can download one of the messages that you might have missed. Church, this morning, I wanted to let you know that when I prepare a message, I like to grab the text. So today, we're looking at 13 verses. Grab the 13 verses. I cut and paste it off like Bible Gateway or my Bible software, and then I put it on a blank page in Word. Then I highlight it and I double space it. And I double space it because I want to be able to write things that sort of stick out to me or things that pop off the page or before I get into the commentaries or before I look at what other people have said about the text. I like to give God or give the Spirit an opportunity to speak to me and to my heart before I jump into that. And usually interesting things will happen. I'll highlight words, maybe words that have been repeated, and I start getting a bit of a picture, and I think to myself, wow, Paul is trying to say something here. And when a writer repeats himself, it's important, and they're usually trying to make a point. And in the first 13 verses of this passage, there's two words that stick out. They stick out, and those two words are the word mystery and the word grace. And it's almost like Paul is saying in the text, it's because of God's grace that I am able to give you some insight into this mystery that we're going to have a look at today. This mystery, the mystery of the gospel, which is what I'd like to unpack. But before we jump into the text, I'd love us to pray. So let's pray. And Jesus, you hear me pray this every week. Jesus, we sit before you today. We sit before you with all of our stuff. Lord, with our pain, with our joys, with our hurts. All of the stuff. You know absolutely everything about us, our wins, our fails. And Lord, I want to say this morning, sorry for all the times that we've fallen short this week. Please forgive me. Lord, please forgive us. And God, I also want to praise you and thank you for all that you have done. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for dying in our place. Thank you for removing all of the barriers that stood in the way of us boldly approaching you. So Lord, my prayer for each and every one of us this morning is that we would boldly approach you today. Thank you for our worship this morning. Thank you that it was bold. Thank you that it ushered us into your presence. There's nothing standing in the way. There's nothing stopping us from drawing nearer. And by your grace and by your love, would you meet us there? Meet us in that place. Please encourage us, fill us with faith, lead us, bring us Holy Spirit revelation that will help us to all live out our kingdom lives. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, church, I wonder what comes to mind when you hear the word mystery. What comes to mind? There's a picture of a box there with a question mark on it. Quickly turn to the person next to you and just say, this is what comes to mind when I hear that word mystery. What pops into your head? Share quickly. Mystery. What comes into your mind? You might automatically think of a good book. Who thought of a good book? Or you might jump straight away to a TV show or a movie. You might think of maybe the great detective Sherlock. Who thought of Sherlock this morning? Hey, there's some Sherlock fans. You know, one of my favorite TV shows is a show by the name of Criminal Minds. Enjoyed Criminal Minds. You know, there are so many of them out there now. There's CSI, there's Bones, there's NCIS, there's CSI in Miami, there's CSI in Como, there's all over the place, you know. And I could go on and I could go on, and they're all modern day mysteries, aren't they? Modern day mysteries. We all know that a good mystery usually contains a villain, you know, a bad person, an evil person. Someone who has done something evil. And there is also a detective, and that's where the Sherlock comes in. A good person. And their job is to solve the mystery so that good triumphs over evil. That's the basic of a good premise, yeah? Of a good mystery, yeah? That's the premise of a good mystery. That didn't come out right. And it is a really good mystery when we don't know who did it or we don't know the outcome until right at the end. You know, there's those mysteries out there where you can kind of work it out and you know how it's going to end. They're predictable. They're not that great. But a good mystery is one where you're left at the end saying, wow, I didn't see that coming. Is that how sometimes you speak at the end of a mystery? You go, wow, never even thought of that in my wild imagination. I didn't see that coming. You know, the dictionary, its definition of a mystery is anything that is kept secret or remains unexplained or hidden. Hence the picture of the box up here, the mystery box. What's in the box? It's unexplained, it's hidden. However, this morning, in the verses that we're going to look at today, Paul is wanting us to know what is in the box. Paul is wanting us to know that the secret is out. He wants to explain the content of the mystery so that we will know who we are in Christ and we will advance his kingdom with boldness and confidence in the natural but also in the supernatural. And I'd love to take a stroll through these verses this morning. We're going to take them one by one and just share a few of the little thoughts that kind of came into my mind as I sat with the passage this week. So let's read. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 1 says this. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. Couple of things here before we jump into the content of the mystery. Remember, Paul, where is he? He's in prison, under house arrest. He's a prisoner because he was teaching that the Gentiles had the same privileges as the Jews in Jesus. And here's what some Jewish troublemakers had to say about Paul as they arrested him. And we jump back to Acts 21 verses 28. It says this: "This is the man who teaches everyone everywhere against our people and our law and this place. And besides, he has brought Greeks into the temple and defiled this holy place." Remember from last week? Remember there's a bit of an issue, we have a bit of an issue with that, don't we? Remember the balustrade? Remember the sign? The middle wall in the temple that restricted non-Jews from entering? Church, that is why he's in prison. Have you ever been in prison? I don't expect you to put up your hands. Tim Sullivan has. Or, should I say, have you been in a prison? It's pretty full on. And if I was in Paul's shoes right now, or as he was writing this, I reckon I'd be pretty down. I reckon I'd be pretty devastated. And I reckon that my writing, you know, if I was writing this letter, it would reflect how I was feeling. But Paul, he refuses to see himself as a victim. He's in prison for Jesus. He's in prison for the sake of the Gentiles. And he has this attitude. And I reckon he's got this attitude because he understands the big picture. He understands what's going on. He understands the mystery that he is about to unpack for us. So let's jump into verse 2. "Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace." See, there's one of those words, grace. "That was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly." Now, three things I want to say about the mystery. And the first thing is, the first part of the mystery is that God uses Paul. And it says in the text, we've just read it right there, that it was by God's grace that God revealed to Paul the content of the mystery through revelation. So what's so mysterious about that? Well, if you do your work on Paul, and I'm sure many of you know about Paul's life, you will remember his unbelievable conversion on the road to Damascus. In Acts chapter 9, verse 15, it says this: "But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go.'" He's talking about Paul here. "This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel." It's this man's job to proclaim the mystery that we're looking at this morning. And Paul was one of the most unlikely. Paul was Paul persecuted Christians. Paul persecuted Christ followers. And he was probably one of the last people that the Jews of the time would have thought that God would have used. And I bet they might have even said this: "Wow, I didn't see that coming." You know, God reveals, he reveals the mystery to Paul. And that's the first part of it, okay? So that's the first part. Verse 4, we've got a little preacher up the back too. "In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ." So the second part of the mystery is Jesus. Remember from last week we looked at the distance, or the things, the barriers, the things that hold us back from drawing near to God, the things that were between us and God. We talked about the big one, sin, didn't we? And how sin separates us from God, and there's nothing that we can do to bridge that gap. But God, in his infinite wisdom, he bridges that gap by sending his son Jesus to walk this earth exactly like we do, experiencing everything that we experience. But there was a difference, wasn't there? He lived a sinless life. And because of that, he's nailed to a cross and he dies. However, we all know the story, don't we? He didn't stay there very long, because on the third day he rose. He rises. And it's through his death and his resurrection that we live. Wow. Again, I bet Satan and all of his followers didn't see that coming. And it's obvious that as you read the story, and we did that together as a church last year, went through the whole story of the Bible, most didn't see that coming. And in verse 4, part B, it said, the mystery of Christ, and this goes on. Verse 5, it says, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit of God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. But now the mystery has been revealed. The mystery of Jesus has been revealed by the Holy Spirit through the prophets and the apostles. And because of what God has done in and through Christ, the mystery now includes absolutely every single one of us. How good is that? All of us, not just the Israelites, not just God's chosen people. The promise of the Messiah is for us too. That ought to get us excited. It's for us too. Making us one body, making us heirs, putting us on equal footing. We're now on the same team. We're sharers together in that promise of Jesus. Wow. I bet they didn't see that coming. And essentially that is the reason why Paul needs to write about the mystery. And the fact that through Jesus, salvation is for all nations. It's for all people groups. That's the mystery. The mystery revealed. Let me summarize that by saying the mystery is salvation through Jesus revealed to Paul for absolutely everyone. So if you're sitting there and you're thinking, what the heck is this guy talking about? Mystery? Man, aren't we meant? We're not meant to know the outcome of the mystery. Well, the mystery is simply this. Salvation through Jesus revealed to Paul for absolutely everyone. Are you with me? So, now that we know the content of the mystery, now Paul has lifted the lid on the mystery box. Paul continues with some practical things for us, some practical outworkings. Let's continue to read. Verse 7. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. A couple of things here. Paul calls himself a what? A servant. A humble servant of the gospel. He humbly rejects, I guess, a higher title. He probably could have written here, you know, I am the Apostle Paul in caps lock. But he didn't. He rejects that title because his focus is on service. And he states that his role is a gift. The servant of Christ. This, I am a servant of Christ. It's a gift for me to be this. And it's through God's power that I am a servant of Jesus. Now, I think there's something in that for each of us here this morning. What do I mean? Well, we are first and foremost servants of Jesus. That's what we are first. And it's by his grace. And we are servants of Jesus before any title and before any role and before any position. Just felt like I should say that. Let's read on to verse 8. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, so there's some more humility here from one that we look to in Apostle Paul. This grace was given me, again, grace. God showers grace on this man to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ. Well, first practical outworking of this mystery revealed is to preach that no one is beyond God's saving grace. You know, we looked at that last week, looked at the barriers, and once again, Paul reminds us that he was the least of the Lord's people. In other places, he says that he was the worst of sinners. And he's a great example to us that no one, absolutely no one, is beyond this mystery of salvation. Jew, Gentile, Australian, black, white, male, female, slave or free, Asian, politician, car salesman, addicts, liars, those with loose lips and those with loose hips. You know, church, do we really believe that? Do we really believe that no one is beyond God's saving grace? I ask you that because I'm sure there's people in your world that you think, you know what? Man, I've been praying for them for years. And there is absolutely no way that they're ever going to come to know Jesus. Do you have people like that in your world? Well, there's a couple of things that I'd like us to do in response to this right now. First thing is, let's pray. Can we just take 20 seconds to pray for that person that is on your mind? You might have several. In your 20 seconds, get them all up to God. Let's pray for those people. Those people that you might think, there's no way. They're too far gone. They're a million miles away. Let's pray for them. Please don't get offended if God doesn't answer your question straight away. Just use that to fuel yourself, to keep asking. You know, if God can save Saul of Tarsus, that's what Paul was known as before he got unbelievably converted on the road to Damascus. If he can save Saul of Tarsus, who was an enemy of God, the worst of sinners, and if he can save you, he can save your dad. He can save your daughter. He could even save your friend. You know, one day, I'd love to be in conversation with you and I hear you sharing with me that this person has come to know God and you say, wow, I didn't see that coming. I'd love to hear that from you one day. So that's the first practical thing. The second practical thing is, let's praise God. Let's praise God that He has saved us. We too are the least of all of God's people. I'm a nobody. I'm a nobody that has been made into a somebody. Not because of anything that I've done. Not because of anything that we've done. But because the mystery of Jesus has been revealed to me. The mystery of Jesus has been revealed to us. And He gives us absolutely everything we need to live out this kingdom life. So that we too can be used by Him to woo people who are a million miles away. To come near to God and to be transformed by the Holy Spirit, by the mystery of Jesus Christ. So that's the second thing. Let's praise God that He has saved us. And we need to move on. Verse 9, it says, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. Peterson says this in the message. He says, my task is to bring out in the open and make plain what God who created all this in the first place has been doing in secret and behind the scenes all along. The second practical outworking is to make plain, or if you do a little bit of digging here, to illuminate this mystery. To illuminate. Do you know what that means? To kind of glow. To become alive. To get excited. Does your life, a couple of questions, might be a little bit hard hitting, so kind of grab hold of your chairs. Does your life bring out into the open and make plain this mystery? Make plain the gospel? Does your life illuminate Jesus? It's worth reflecting on. Love you to take that into the rest of this week. Verse 10. Just felt there that we might have moved on a little bit too quick. It's worth thinking about. Does your life illuminate Jesus? Verse 10. His intent was that now, through the church, all right, church, get ready for it, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and what? Confidence. I ask you therefore, do not be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. Next time we open the book, we'll read verse 14. And Paul launches into some more meaty prayers for us, for the church. I look forward to bringing that message in the coming weeks. Well, the third outworking is that this illumination happens. And the message again says this, through followers of Jesus like yourselves gathered in churches. So this illumination happens through people like us. We are the church. This extraordinary plan of God is becoming known and talked about even among the angels. Church, he uses us. He uses us to make known this extraordinary plan of God. To make known the mystery of the gospel. You know, we've been journeying with one of the pastors over in the US, his name Rob Remer, reading his book. We've got him coming the start of next year, which we're really excited about. But Rob Remer summarizes this passage beautifully for us. He summarizes the mystery of the gospel with these words, and I think it's just a great way to wrap up our message this morning. And it's going to hop up on the screen. Thanks, Dees. He says this, God calls unlikely people into his family, in and through the undeserved and unsuspecting work of Jesus to use them in unsuspecting ways to do what, church? To advance his kingdom. Do you hear mystery in those words? Undeserved, unsuspecting, unlikely. It's got written all over that. Man, I didn't see that coming. And he did that. He did it through Paul. He revealed it through Jesus. He did it through the apostles and the prophets and the early church. And he wants to do it through this church. And he wants to do it through you and you. You know, maybe some of us are here today and we're struggling to believe. We're struggling to believe this stuff. We're struggling to believe all of what's just been said. Maybe some of us have even stopped dreaming. We've stopped dreaming of ways to advance God's kingdom, of ways to illuminate the gospel in our spheres of influence. Maybe we've given up dreaming. Maybe we're struggling to believe. Maybe that's where we're at right now, today. Maybe we've overlooked the calling that God has placed in our hearts by His Spirit. Maybe it's all just got a little too hard. It's hard. It's hard. This kingdom life is hard. But church, my encouragement is this. We are a privileged generation. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, we're privileged because the mystery of Jesus has been revealed to us. And we need to believe. We need to hold on to this story with everything that we have. And we need to know without a shadow of a doubt who we are in Christ. And we need to keep dreaming of ways to illuminate, to make plain the gospel, and to build God's kingdom through all of the spheres in our society, the arts, education, sport, business, family, the health sector, our community, and the church. So who do we think we are? Who do you think we are? We are some of the most unlikely who have been brought into God's family through the undeserved and unsuspecting work of Jesus. And we are now called to advance His kingdom in unsuspecting ways. Let's get amongst it, church. Amen.